The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Have your Bibles. I want to look at some verses and actually read just a little bit over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Here the Apostle Paul, in writing this epistle to his Jewish brethren, Paul, as you go through the book of Hebrews, he's bringing about things and showing them and teaching them things about, you know, better promises and better things about in Jesus Christ. The Jews were still so wrapped up into Judaism, into the things of the old law, that, you know, Paul still had a great desire. His heart and prayer for Israel was that they might be saved, in the sense of seeing the truth and seeing and understanding how Jesus Christ was so much better than the old law that pointed towards him. But what we have today and what they were experiencing then was so much better. And he wrote this letter and epistle to them, to those that would, you know, to read it, to see and to learn. And he still cared for them that they would continue to grow in grace and knowledge, and their eyes would be enlightened. And he writes here in chapter 6 of Hebrews, and I'm just going to jump right in the middle of this because I don't want to have to take all the time that we would take to get to just to start where I want to read. Start for verse 10. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the mutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, with which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner it for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Paul here in this writing of this epistle and writing there, he tells them, and like I said, I'm just kind of jumping in that, but verse 10, when we started, he said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Paul is encouraging his brothers and sisters here that they would not, you know, basically not give up, don't lose hope in, you know, what they're doing. He said, God knows. He said he was writing to people who had been showing towards his or love towards the saints and do minister, administer to them. This was something that he knew of. He knew and saw, may have experienced firsthand how that his brothers and sisters of the Jews there, they were those who would come and show forth the love, showing forth the love that was in their heart. And brothers and sisters, the only way we can show forth love for one another, love for the Lord, is because God has put that love in our heart. That's part of that ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And that's how Paul could say, you showed forth this love. You know, even Christ tells us there in Matthew 25, when he talks about those things, about those, you know, that had done good, they had gone and give water to those who were thirsty, they had give food to those that hungered, they had visited those that were in prison. You know, and he's telling them, those that was going to inherit the kingdom of God, that was going to and be there in heaven with him, he said, "You've done these things to me." And, you know, they asked that question, "Lord, when did we see you like this? And when we see you in all these states," he said, "when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And that's what Paul is reminding. Don't give up. Don't faint by the wayside. I know we live in a time right now that unprecedented even for this country in the last, I guess, 1917 or whenever the last big pandemic. But brothers and sisters, the pandemic is not just all that this country is going through right now. You know, I'm not very old when it compared to how old this country is, but in my lifetime, there's been a lot of changes. But you know, the one that is still on his throne, ruling and reigning, is still right there today. Always has been, always will be. And Paul is telling the Jewish brethren here, he's saying, don't give up. Just because of what you're going on around them, you know, I stop sometimes and think about, in my mind, pondering what Paul and Peter and James and John, what they saw during their lifetime. You know, they were living in a time that they were under Roman authority. They were not only under Roman authority, but when they went out to preach the gospel, when they went out to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, now the people that they loved, even those that used to say, we love the Lord, were some of them were even their own enemies and trying to have them, you know, persecuted and to have them killed because they were now preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They wasn't preaching man and what he can do. They were preaching that God is the one that gives us all the grace and glory. God is the only one, is the one that they were pointing to, and yet they were still facing the treatments of the Roman army, all the things that were going on. You know, yes, I'm praying for this country. I want this country to turn and go back to fearing God, but we're still blessed beyond measure in this country. We don't mean we don't need to give up praying for our leaders and for this country. But as Paul said here, he said, God is not unrighteous to forget your work. What he's saying here is God hasn't forgot what you've done in serving Him, in serving your brothers and sisters, in worshiping and continue to minister unto the saints and continue to minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. He said, you know, those that he's talking about here that are ministering to the saints, they're ministering to the saints because of the hope that is in them. And that's what Paul really starts getting into here about the hope that we have, the hope that is within us. That they show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. To the end of what, somewhat asked. Maybe it's to the end of our lives, but we never give up. It could be to the end of time, because we don't know when the Lord's coming back. It may be today, it may be this week, it may be this year, I don't know. But I pray that we show forth that hope that's in our heart, that hope, that earnest expectation of the promise that God has blessed us with. Until I breathe out my last breath, or until the Lord comes back, whichever's first. But we continue to strive in that hope. In that hope, you know, hope is what Paul is really shifting into here to tell them about, to don't give up hope, no matter what the circumstances around you looks like. Because there's so many times I've looked at things and I thought, oh no, this is not going to be good. And you know, when the Lord has gotten me through it, I look back and go, that wasn't near as bad as I was expecting it to be, because I wasn't putting my hope in the right place. I was putting it in what I could do and not what God can do. And that's what Paul is continuing to emphasize to them. He said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He reminding them to be followers of those that through faith and patience, that faith being putting your trust and your assurance in Jesus Christ, putting your trust and assurance in God Almighty, and patience, that cheerfully enduring. Had a young man the other day at work. We were just talking a little bit about, I said, just got to have patience and everything. He says, well, I just that patience, what I have trouble with. I said, you know what a biblical term of patience is? He says, to means to endure. I said, it means to cheerfully endure. So that cheerful part's what I have to work on sometimes. But you know, we can. When we put our hope, our faith in the right place. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is, there again, the only way we have faith It's because God has given that through the Spirit. But to that ninefold fruit of the Spirit, that's very important there. That's a good subject to preach on, study on. But we have that faith. We're able to trust and have full confidence in an unseen God. Now, we see Him through that eye of faith. We see Him in the words of God. We see Him in these writings. We see His handiwork all around us. You know, the heavens declare His glory and His handiwork, but we don't see Him like the world wants to see Him. We don't see Him as a literal man. Now Paul and Peter and James and John, they were some that were able to literally physically handle that body, physically see Jesus Christ, but we weren't there. But that doesn't mean we still can't have faith and trust in the one that we feel in our hearts. You know, those two on the road to Emmaus, they saw Him, but their eyes were holding. They didn't know who He was at that moment, but yet through what He spoke and preached and taught them, it said our hearts burned within Him. We still have that reassurance today. He is still our God. He is still on His throne. When we read these scriptures, when we pray to Him, when we feel that peace that passeth all understanding. I heard a sermon the other day. I think it was Elder Ronald Lawrence. I don't know. I've listened to a few sermons on CD the other day. This or online, so it wasn't in person. But he was talking about a sister that just talked about going through some hard times and having her faith in the Lord and in God. It said her son, her only son, she was a widow, and he was her only son. He was fixing to have a very, very serious surgery. And it was one of those that, you know, they didn't know exactly, you know, that as a doctor, as a man, he didn't know. So she went home, took her Bible and bent down by her bed and read and said she started praying. And she just prayed and prayed and prayed and said until she felt that peace of God saying it's going to be okay. No matter what. That's that faith. That's that peace that we look for and that hope of that promise. We have those examples in all through scriptures of those that, you know, that had faith and patience, and they inherited the promises of God. They inherited, meaning they saw God fulfill that promise. They didn't give up hope. When you think about giving up hope and where our faith and all are grounded. That's what I need to be reminded so many times, because I am right there needing to hear what Paul has to say. My faith and my hope sometimes get so misplaced in the things of the world, the people of the world. And I'm not talking about, somebody, but I'm talking about just in the governments and the police forces. And I pray for them. I'm thankful for all these things. But those men and women need prayer also. You know, all those first responders, the doctors and nurses that we once, you know, kind of took for granted, all of those in the healthcare profession. Pharmacists too. I take two for granted too many times. But we see how quickly things that we're not in control of, but God still, He's still the one that our hope is in. God even, or Paul here even saying in verse 13, when they inherited the promises, he says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. What promises is he talking about? When you go back over into Genesis chapter, it actually starts in Genesis chapter 12, where God made a promise unto Abraham. And that promise starts in Genesis chapter 12, where the Lord announced in verse 1, it says, now the Lord God said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's the promise that God made with Abram, or Abraham, which is the same. That's the promise. And that's what Paul is drawing back on about how when God made that promise unto Abraham, There in verse Hebrews 6 and 13 says, "For when God promised to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." You think about how today, even Paul, he says even a little bit that, "For men verily sweareth by the greater, and the oath confirmation is to them an end of all strife." You know, today, there's a lot of times men will come together. If they've got a problem, they'll make an oath. They'll make an agreement. They'll promise one another. Maybe it's somebody says, "Well, you know, your cattle's getting on my land." "Well, your cattle's getting on my land. Well, we'll put us a fence down through there, and I promise you I'm going to do everything I can to be a good neighbor, keep that fence up, and make sure my cattle don't get over in your garden, and you make sure your cattle don't get over in my garden." You know, that's a crude example, but it's a promise that I will do everything we can to be good neighbors, to do what we are, to keep that promise. You know, I may make a promise to Brother Joel that I'm going to come help him do something, you know, but I'm a man. I may make that promise, and I'm not physically able to keep that promise. I may make a promise and then die. I may make a promise and think, "I'm just going to tell Brother Joel this, and I ain't going to try to keep this promise." You know, those are three aspects of God. He cannot die, he cannot lie, and he cannot deny himself. He made a promise to Abraham that if you come out from where you're living, come out at 75 years old and go to a land you've never been to. Leave everything you've ever known and go somewhere you've never been. And I promise you this. That's God saying that. And God made an oath to his own self, because he could swear no by no greater. You know, we can swear and make an oath by something greater. We can go to the laws of the county or the state or even the government, and we can make out a contract, a covenant, if you will. And they'll see that if I don't uphold my end of whatever it is I may promise somebody or sign that contract, I have an oath to the bank on the house that me and Sister Crystal have built. You know, it's not paid for. As much as I'd love to say it's all bought and paid for, there's still a promise that I've made the bank to say, "I will make this payment so much each month until it is completely paid off and you're satisfied." If I decide I'm just not going to make the payments, you know what's going to happen? They will get kicked out. State of Mississippi or federal government, whoever it is, being with us with a federal type bank, goes across state lines, the federal government's going to accept in. You didn't keep your promise. But I've made a promise to them. And they've made a promise to me that they'll give me that amount of time to pay it off. But brothers and sisters, God couldn't swear by any greater, so he swore by himself. That's who made the promise to Abraham. And you can come over even over into chapter 22 of Genesis, and where the Lord had said he tempted or tried Abraham there, not tempting with evil, but trying his faith, seeing, "Where is your faith, Abraham? Is it truly grounded in me? Is it truly you trusting me with all your heart and mind and soul and body?" And he tells him to take Isaac, his only son, the only begotten son. This is the one God had promised that his seed would be through. Yeah, he had another son, but this is the one God had promised him through. This was the son by promise. You take him and you go sacrifice him. You know what Abraham did? He got up and he got ready and he went for a 3 days journey. I've always said every word in the scriptures, you need to think about it for a moment. You ever thought of, "Well, I'm going to go do this. This is a good idea I've had. I'm going to get up in the early in the morning. I'm going to get my stuff, and I'm going to go do whatever it is this idea I've got." I've done that. I've got up, I've got ready, and I get on the road, and maybe it's a little drive to wherever I'm going. And I get to thinking, "Is this really a good idea? I've had a little time to think about this. Maybe I shouldn't." I start second-guessing myself. Abraham went for 3 days, and he never second-guessed. He went straight to where the Lord had told him, "You go here, you take the boy, and you go up on the mount, and you sacrifice him." And you know the account. He had the wood, he had the fire, he left the servants there. He went up, and he had him tied. He had him there, had the knife drawn back, and God said, "Stay his hand. Hold it." I'm paraphrasing. And he even then gave him the sacrifice. He gave him a ram. God provided himself a sacrifice. And because of Abraham's faithfulness. Verse 15, this is chapter 22 and verse 15 of Genesis where we're at. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Reaffirming what God has already told and what we have just read over in Hebrews, that God could swear by no greater. This angel says here that God says that I have sworn by myself. He made the promise to Abraham, and he keeps his promises. And he goes through it once again. For because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. He reassured that exact same promise once again. Abraham's faith was in God. Our hope, what Paul is getting here, and I'm hitting on the faith because it says there in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. Our hope is so strongly tied with our faith in God. Not just believing there is a God, but believing God. The one that cannot lie, the one that cannot deny himself. He made Abraham a promise. He kept that promise. That's what Paul is reminding them. Don't give up hope, no matter what our circumstances around us look like. Sister Crystal and I, sometimes we'll, from just a lot that's going on in our lives through in the last years, we'll have a lot of people will come up, and especially when she was going through cancer, telling her, you need to do this, you need to do that, you know, and they mean well. Mm-hmm. But we kind of, just one day it was said, I don't know which one of us said it, we may have both said it, said, you know, people don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of times people will tell you things meaning well, but they don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. And there's too many times I'll tell myself this is not going to be good, and I forget what, it's not behind the scenes, but I forget the one that is leading and guiding and blessing me through those things. I need to be reminded of those things. Paul's reminding his brothers and sisters, don't give up hope. He said, Abraham didn't. This was something that you'd think, to go sacrifice your son. I haven't a clue what went through Abraham's mind other than what the scriptures tell me. He was still a man. He still loved that young man, but he loved the Lord. His faith and his hope. That faith is where our hope, that earnest expectation. He expected that promise that God made him to be fulfilled. And it was. He was blessed. His seed, his family grew to be a great nation, and just in the children of Israel. This whole world has been blessed of the Lord's people. I'll put that world there in a proper perspective. All of God's people have been blessed through because of Jesus Christ is in that lineage of Abraham. He is blessed in those things. But brothers and sisters, you just stop and think about it. His faith was in God. We've been blessed through Jesus Christ. Abraham was blessed through Jesus Christ. The blessings come from God. But there's so many times that peace and comfort that we miss is because our hope is not in God. It's not in the one that has made the promise to us. It says, wherein God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Immutability means his counsel does not change. God's promise that he made to Abraham some roughly 1700 years or so, they say, as far as figuring, came to fruition in Jesus Christ. The world of his elect, have been blessed through that family. Not because of what Abraham did, because that's what God chose. Abraham, When you're reading in Genesis, I've said this so many times, everything, you're reading in Genesis, you're hearing about the creation and all of this, this one begat this one, and this one lived so many years, and the next thing you know, here's Abram. What makes him so special? Because God chose to use him. Because God just chose, this is the one God chose. I'm thankful for election because God chose those that would be with him. He used him. He made a promise to him. And that promise was fulfilled in them in going in, inheriting Canaan's land, his children and all those after him. It was fulfilled in through Jesus Christ that the whole world of the Lord's people would be blessed through Jesus Christ. There's been never a greater event happen in this world other than Jesus Christ being born into this world and dying on that cross. But I'm waiting for one more promise that's going to be even greater than that in the eyes of all of his children when he does come back. There's not going to be any more of me looking at the wrong things. My eyes are going to be on Jesus Christ. And he swore by himself that infallibility, immutability, his word is not, there's no errors in it. I know there's a lot of times we read and can see it verses, and I'm not real sure what that's meaning. That sounds like it's contradicting something over there. Well, that's because I haven't studied, I haven't read, I haven't prayed enough to start seeing a little bit more. To start finding those nuggets sometimes, as Brother Herman Clark used to always say. He said that God willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise, to show us the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, his counsel, which cannot change, is no error in it, it'll always stand sure and fast, and that it was impossible for God to lie. Possible. I've known some very honest people, to the best of my knowledge, in my life. And when they would tell me something, you know, I believe what they say. I might not like what they said, but I believe what they said. But you know, we still have that ability to lie. I could have been told a lie by some of these people, and I've never known it. I took what they said to be the truth. But it is impossible. Brothers and sisters, that is something that me still in this old carnal body, I understand the words and I hang on to them, but to hear that it is impossible for God to lie, that's peace for me. Because when I start reading of all these things that he did and he says he's going to do and how he's still watching over us, he still hears our prayers, his eyes are upon us. I may not be living in the way I should, but I know he's hearing those prayers. And when I do get down and beg for forgiveness and beg for help, is that sister who was praying for her son, she felt that peace that everything was going to be okay. That's what Paul is reminding us today, even. That by two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We have a hope. We have an earnest expectation of a promise being delivered unto us. Now, that promise that Abraham received there in Genesis, it was filled. The Lord blessed this, you know, in a mighty way. He said that surely I will bless thee and multiply, and I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham attained that promise. His seed was multiplied into a great nation. You can read all through the Old Testament how it just grew and grew, and even today, you know, there's no way you can track all the lineages back to Abraham, but there's you can look over in the Middle East and so on. There's all of that. So many came from Abraham that's over there. And the greatest blessing was Jesus Christ, how this world has been blessed. But my hope is in another promise that God made, that his word tells us about. I said, we've never been able to literally lay eyes on Jesus Christ as Paul and all the apostles and so many did. But we have his word, this same word that is, as he says, is immutable. And the promise that he made us is in John chapter 14. There's many promises he's made, but the one that I want to look at for just a little bit more this morning. John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." This is Jesus talking to his disciples, the apostles there. "You believe in God, believe also in me." You believe in God, believe that Jesus Christ did do what he said he did. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." There's many mansions, many dwelling places. Like I said, these are all good sermons and things that you can dwell into. But and then he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." For you. That word is very precious. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you, for each and every one of you, and I trust for me also." And says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." He said, "I will come again and receive you unto me, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's the promise that Jesus has made to us. He was fixing to go to the cross and redeem us. We were fixing to receive the greatest blessing that a child of God could ever receive in salvation by grace. He was fixing to pay that debt. It's like me going to the bank and going, "You know, I have the money now to be able to pay this in full." Jesus took what we owe, not what he owed, because he didn't know anything. He didn't have any sin, but he took our sins upon him. And he went and redeemed us so that we could be there with him. That's the promise. That's the promise I want to look at. Now, there's many other promises, but that's the promise. Through the immutability of his counsel. This is his counsel. This is God's word right here. I believe the King James translation is the word of God translated as we need it today. And it's the closest that we have into the true Greek and Hebrew as it was written. And this promise says that he will come for us. He says that where I am, there ye may be also. He is coming back. Brothers and sisters, how can we face this world? How can we face the trial? How can we trace the illnesses, the deaths, the things of this world? It's because Jesus said, "This is not all. This is not everything that our hope is in. This world is just what we have to go through for a season. It is but a vapor." Read a little thing the other day. It said, man said that he was about 80 years old. And he says, "I know this is just a season that we go through, or a vapor, if you will." But he said, "You know, from birth until death," he said, "it sure does feel like a long season sometimes." But brothers and sisters, eternity is going to be even sweeter and greater, because this is but just a short little time compared to all of eternity. Of all of eternity, being able to see and to worship our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, to be with our brothers and sisters that have gone on to be with the Lord, to be with those that I'm able to right now to be able to be with. But one day, I look forward to coming here this morning, but I look forward to the day that we're in heaven. We don't have to break up. We don't have to leave. We don't have to worry about COVID or anything. We can rejoice in the Father's love. That's what Paul is reminding, that don't give up hope, because the hope that we have is tied to that faith, and in that faith is anchored in the one, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 19, I know I keep jumping back, but he says in verse 19 of Genesis 6 there, or Hebrews 6, excuse me, it said, "which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." Our hope is that anchor. It's what keeps us grounded, if you will. You know, a ship today, you know, it throws out an anchor, you know, to keep from floating off and wandering here and there out in the ocean, or if you got a boat out in your pond or something. That anchor is what holds it at that place. Jesus Christ is our anchor. That rope, if you will, is something that we need to grab a hold, that faith, that hope, and to hang on. It's a rocky ride sometimes. It's a blistering storms, and it can be a very tempestuous wind. But he's the one that can walk out and say, "Peace, be still." And it's all peace and calm. That storm can still be raging out there. We feel it in here. Because he says there that hope, which is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is in the veil, whither the forerunner has for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's entered into that veil. This is not a high priest that went in just once a year and, you know, sprinkled the blood of a red heifer and of a lamb, and then next year had to go do it again. He satisfied all of that. He is that anchor. He is the one that our hope, our faith, we need to hang on to. You know, you take a ship and you tie it up, or a boat, toss out the anchor, you've got a hold of it and it's tied to that ship, it keeps it there. But we got to hang on to that. We can't faint by the way or give up. That's what Paul, I think, starts out here saying, that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Said God hasn't forgotten your love, your faith, your love for one another and for Him, to continue those things. You know, Brother Sid took him out fishing. He said, throw out the anchor. Brother Joel did what he was told. He threw out the anchor, but he forgot to tie the rope onto the boat. You know, that anchor didn't do too good right then.
I forget that a lot of time now.
But brother, hang on. He hadn't forgotten us. He never will. Let's not forget Him. Let's not forget what He's done for us. Let's not forget that He is our hope, our faith, our strength. He's our refuge. He's our buckler. He's our high tower. He's the strength that gets us through every day. He's the one that has given us the faith to trust in Him, the hope, that earnest expectation that I'm so glad of that this is not the best that it gets. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if in this life only we have hope in Jesus, we are men most miserable. I have hope that He's going to carry me through the things and see me through the things in this world, but my hope is anchored in Jesus Christ, which is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Sometimes I've got a hold of that rope and I let it out a little bit and I start drifting away from Him and I start feeling the waves of the world. I start feeling the storms a whole lot. And when I start pulling myself, when I draw nigh unto Him, He draws nigh unto me. That's what we need to continue, is to hang on to that hope, looking to the One that blessed us beyond measure. There's going to still be some storms. There's still going to be some high winds. But brothers and sisters, this is all but for a season. This too shall pass. I don't like seeing loved ones and people that I love pressing a dying pillar or going to funerals. But they're the blessed ones sometimes. They're seeing Jesus. And my hope is in the promise that He is coming back. My hope is in the promise that He's where He is, thou shalt be also. Whether we here this morning, if we live long enough that we press a dying pillow and breathe out our last breath, or whether the Lord comes back. I just send the Lord come on back and let's just all go at one time with a shout and rejoicing. But whatever it is that the Lord knows that we have in store for us in this world, our hope is still in the One that is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The One that made the promise. The One that spoke this world into an existence. You know, just that very thing there. Think about someone that could speak. And all of this appears from nothing. That's where my hope's at. I tell so many times, misplace it. I have to be reminded. I have to be reminded by my brothers and sisters when I see your smiling face and the love, and because that's what He started off where we started. He said that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I see the love that comes from breast to breast. That reminds me that God is still on His throne. God is still with His people. He's still giving us that hope and that faith, and He's still reminding us to look to Him. I thank you for your kind attention.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.